Hello, I'm your host, Mr. Chuck, a retired accountant turned truck driver. I reduced my debt in a relatively short period of time. Debt reduction to achieve financial freedom takes commitment, confidence, determination. Tracking Basics Plus. What is tracking in personal finances? What to do tracking, and what is needed to track personal finances? Going in depth to explain the basic tracking software and what to look for when you're searching for something to help you with your personal finance tracking. But before I get started in that, I want to talk to why you want to do it. If you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're struggling to pay your bills and you're not really sure what's coming up and due in the future, you kind of know, but you're not positive. Maybe you don't know how much or when, and you don't really have a plan for anything with your money. You're in trouble. Whether or not you have a lot of debt, you could be in that same situation and have no debt. It's because you don't know where your money is going. You don't know what's coming due. And you have a vague idea of how much money you make. I saw an article where it said people making $100,000 plus are living paycheck and paycheck. And an article was discussing the reason for that. Well, one of the reasons is as you make more money, this is what the article was saying, as you make the more money, you think you deserve better things, and better things, generally speaking, cost more. Whether it's a more expensive automobile, a bigger home, designer clothes, going out to eat more often, whatever the case, you are inflation spending. As you make more money, you're spending a whole lot more because you have more to spend. And you're not considering the future. You have no real plans. You have no real goal set. Maybe you think you have some goals set, but you never wrote it down. And you never worked on trying to achieve that goal, no matter what it is, whether it's just to buy a new automobile that you want, a new sports car, or that designer dress, or that whole designer wardrobe you want, or the fancy cosmetics that you want to use. It doesn't really matter. If you have no plan for your money, it's going to just go away because you're going to just buy whatever you want, whenever you want. And then when bills come due, you're going to be struggling to figure out how to pay for them. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you, but in a nutshell, that is part of the reason. The other part of the reason is people want to keep up with the Joneses, the other guy. Your neighbor might have that new car, maybe they remodeled their kitchen, and you want to try to do the same thing. Don't worry about what other people are doing. That's their problem. You need to focus on yourself and what money you have and what you can do with what you have. I have a link in my show notes for an article from MoneyWise, and it's titled Best Personal Finance Software for 2023. I'm not saying it's the best or not the best. The reason I picked the article is because it has two of them in there that I like. You need a budget, which kind of does your tracking and does your budgeting, and CountAbout, which kind of will definitely do your tracking. I do not use it for my budget, but that's my tracking software of choice, the one I use personally. Both of them are in this article. You can read the article and find out which is best for you. There's other ones in there that I'm not going to mention because I don't like them, or I've never used them, or a combination of the both. So tracking is nothing more than making a list of all the expenses and all the income that goes through your personal finances, which includes your checking, your saving if you have one, all your credit cards and your loans. Now, I know the loans, like your automobile loans and your mortgage, hopefully the only direction it's going is down. It may be slow. You're making a timely payment. Part of that payment is going to interest, and part of that payment is going to principal. The newer the loan, more of it's going to be interest and less of it's going to be principal. That's why it takes so long to pay them down. So really, the tracking of those items are not as important, but your checking account and your credit cards are important. You want to know how much money is flowing through your checking account and where it's going. What expenses are you paying for? How much is coming in, which is your net pay? What's deposited in your checking account? Where it's going, when those bills are due, and how much are they? Same thing with your credit cards. What are you buying with a credit card? Why are you using the credit card? How much are you making a payment? How much is that interest they're charging you every month? It's going to be a lot. I had a $600 balance on my credit card because I just thought I'd wait another 2 weeks to pay it off. I didn't want to short my checking account. I could have, but I didn't. Cost me $10 in interest on a $500 or $600 balance for about 3 weeks. That is way too much. And that was the lowest interest credit card I have. That's like roughly around 14%. You can really get yourself in financial trouble when that interest starts piling up and it's hard to pay off a credit card and you find yourself trapped into a debt cycle. And that's probably the number one reason why people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're struggling to make those credit card payments. And then they come up short during the month and they use their credit card some more to buy groceries or put gas in the car or whatever the case would be to make up for their shortage. And that balance just keeps growing. And it's hard to get out of that cycle. And it's referred to as a debt cycle. So your first step, once you realize you have a problem, your first step is really realizing you have a problem with your finances, whether it's too much credit card debt, too much debt in general, or just spending too much money and with zero debt. Whatever the case, everybody's situation is going to be a little bit different. So, but you got to realize that whatever you're doing is something is missing. And that something that's missing is keeping track of everything. I kept track of most of my life. Since I graduated from college, I always had a minimum, a check register. Now, I didn't keep track of all the detail in my credit cards. Usually, I only had one, maybe two credit cards. But I really never tracked it. I tried not to use them, treat them as cash, but then something would happen and I would have to use the credit to pay for new tires or whatever the case was. And I just got myself in trouble. And then my approach was I pay $200 extra on that credit card till it's paid off. And I did that. Then I'd come up short somewhere else. I'd cut back on my spending from food or whatever I could. And I would almost be debt-free as far as paying off that credit card. And something else would happen, and I'd have to use it again. So it was a cycle. I would kind of get out. Maybe I would pay it off for a few months, and I would be fine. And then I would go on a spending splurge for whatever reason. And because I thought, well, I need new clothes, and I'd go out and buy a bunch of clothes, so I'll pay it off in a couple months, and then something would break, and I had to replace it, and I got farther in, and it took me forever to get out of debt, because while all that was happening, my income wasn't ever going up. My income was going up slow, but my debt was rising fast, and I think that's what happens with everybody. So you need to track everything. So what are you looking for? Tracking today in 2024 is basically an app that you can use to put your personal finance information into. So you want to find something that's going to be flexible, something that when you get them and download them, they're pretty much going to be set up with all a list of categories. But can you edit those categories? Can you switch them around? Can you rename them? That's kind of a something you want to do because you want to make it something that's easy for you to use, that you can identify with. I call housing, housing. Well, you might call it house or home or living space or whatever the case. And food is food. You might call it groceries, dining out, delivery. To me, food is food. And I have one category and I put them all under one. Transportation. So you want to be able to work with the categories, edit them, rearrange them, rename them so that they come out when you print them in a certain order, so that when you do your monthly budget, which I highly recommend doing it on a spreadsheet separate from your tracking, unless you have an app that kind of built in and can do it, Countabout kind of does budgeting. I don't like it. It doesn't work very good. I only use it for the tracking portion. Now, you need a budget. YNAB works much better, but it's a little more expensive. And if you read the article, there's no phone or email contact. That's a con. And there's not a one-stop shop for all things financial. I'm not really sure what that means. It's about budgeting. It goes beyond the mechanics of budgeting, and it says it's a low cost. It's about $15 a month, I think. If you use Countabout, and you only can use it for your tracking, it's going to cost you $10 a year. Big difference in price. And it does really good. And what I just said of what you can do all that and probably a whole lot more. I've only learned to use things to the point that I'm going to use it, and I don't bother going any farther. I like You Need a Budget, or YNAB, because they have a lot of YouTube videos on how to use it, and you can watch videos and learn how to use it. It pretty much will do everything you need to do. It could do your tracking. You can put all that in, and that's your starting point. Putting your data in. I do not recommend connecting to your bank because if you manually input things, you can have more aware of what's going on. If it's automated, if you automate it too much, you're not aware of what's going on. It may take you a longer period of time before you realize, well, I'm spending way too much on dining out. If you're manually entering it, you'll know that right away because you're entering it. And you go a week and you enter it five times, you're eating out five times a week. Whatever the case, if it's automated and comes in and you just scan through it, you may not realize that right away. But that's your starting point. So whatever software you go with, your starting point is start with the tracking part and put your data in there. And you want to be consistent on how you enter your data. And the big thing to watch out for is a grocery store. You go to a grocery store to buy food, which is groceries. You can also go to the same grocery store and buy gas for your car. So you need to make sure you categorize them properly. Gas for the car should be transportation, fuel, whatever. And groceries should be under food. Two different categories. You got to be careful on that type of concept. Don't get into so much detail that you're breaking out grocery as food, toiletries, cleaning supplies. Don't do that. Just clump it all together into one. over the long period of time. It really doesn't matter. If you want to put memos in your notes so you can see, well, I spent an extra $50 this week at the grocery store. I wonder what I bought. If you put notes in your memo, you'll know you bought cleaning supplies, some toiletries, shampoo, whatever the case, whatever notes you put in there, you can glance at and have an idea of what happened. So that's what you need to do. And the reason you're doing it manually is so that you know what's going into your checking account, income, and you know what's coming out. And over a period of time, you'll know, okay, my rent's due on this day of the month, my electric bill is usually due this day of the month, my natural gas bill is due this, my trash is due quarterly, and it's usually due then, my insurance is due monthly, and it's due this day of the month. You'll get to know that, and then over a longer period of time, you'll start to remember the numbers. I know my car insurance is $50 a month. Now, these are just fictitious numbers, believe me. My rent, you should know that. I mean, that should be something you should know off the top of your head, or your mortgage payment. And if you have more than one mortgage payment, you should know all of them pretty much and when they are due. And why is that helpful? It's helpful because if you know when things are due, you're going to know how much money you need to have in your checking account. And you got to know that you can't splurge on spending before you need to make those payments. And you can then budget your money accordingly. YNAB calls that giving your money a job. I think other financial advisors says the same thing. Give your money a job. You assign your money a job to a category. And then when you pay it, it tells you that it works great, and it's a good thing to know. The more you know what happens in the past and that happens on a regular basis, the more you're going to know what's coming up in the future. I know that sounds crazy. Once you know what's going on in the past, and most of budgeting is looking back at what happened, but we want to take this to look at what's going to happen in the future. And what can I do to make that happen easier for me so I don't come up short, so I make all my timely payments and everybody is paid on time and I pay all my bills and I got a little bit of money in my savings account and I'm not struggling to get out of debt and I build up my emergency fund so if something bad happened, I don't have to use a whole lot of credit to get through that particular problem. That's where we're trying to get to in our personal finance life. And if you're not there yet, you're probably struggling. And if you're struggling, the reason is, do you have too much debt? Or the reason is, you're not planning far enough in advance. Or the reason is, you're spending more than what you make. I know that's a short-term thing. Whenever you spend more than you make, you have to make up for it by using credit. And the more credit you use, the farther behind you're going to get. And it costs you a lot of money to use credit. And if you don't believe me, just go back through one of your credit cards that you've carried a balance on for the last year, add up all the interest you paid, and then think, what could you have done with that same amount of money? And that money could have been in your savings account instead. And that's where you need to get your mindset. And we need to focus on what's going on today in our personal finances so now we can plan for tomorrow. I'll be back in one moment with my final thoughts. If you're interested in learning about an online software that helped myself get out of debt, does tracking, budgeting, and keeps track of all your assets and all your debt. It even tells you how much and when to transfer money into your savings account and how much and when to transfer money to your debt and which debts to pay off in order first. It's not cheap. It's a one-time payment, but it will definitely be an investment something in yourself and an investment in your personal financial life. If you're interested, send me an email at reducedebtincreasewealth@gmail.com and I'll send you the information about this online software that worked great for me. I was listening, I believe this was on the news the other night, and this topic is going to be why you do a budget, but I like to bring it up now. They were saying that the average person in the United States, the average, I'm not sure if that's single, couple, whatever, makes around $78,400 something. And that the average mortgage is $408,300, somewhere in that range, which results in roughly 41% of your income. The first problem I had when I saw that is, if you're only averaging $78,000 a year, why are you buying a $400,000 home? That's problem one. Problem two, if it's 41% of your income, how are you borrowing the money to buy it? The limit is 42-43%, and the lenders are not going to give you the money because you cannot afford it. So why would they give you the money at 41%? I'm saying that you'd probably have, if you follow into the average and you buy an average cost home and you got the average income, I'm saying you're going to have a difficult time finding somebody to lend you the money. And if you find somebody to lend you money, you're going to be paying 1-3% more in mortgage interest than somebody else, because you're going to be a higher risk of default, because you're going to be strapped for money, because you're buying a home you cannot afford. And why do I say that? Because when you look at budgeting numbers and what the experts, and that's not me, this is the financial experts that study this, say that if you have 42-43% of your income, that's gross pay, by the way, not take home, and you got to pay taxes, and you got to pay maybe your retirement or health care, that you will not get financed. You'd be struggling. That's the top limit. The amount of money you should use out of your current income to pay for housing should not exceed 35%. So if you're doing the averages, you're buying a home you can't afford by 6%. So what are you going to cut out? If you don't have any car payments, yes, that's going to help. But how, that mortgage is 30 years. How long can you go before you need to buy a car? Can you go long enough until you get a couple of pay raises and then buy a car? What else are you going to do that way with? A $400,000 home is probably, I'm going to say, a nice size home. 3,000 square foot, maybe, depending where you live. I mean, California might be a 760 square foot home. I don't know. It's all relative to where you live. The larger the home, the more it's going to cost you to heat and cool it and to maintain it. Your taxes are going to be more. Your real estate taxes, I'm referring to. Everything costs more. You're going to be struggling, and you're going to not be able to get by. And over time, unless you get significant increase in pay, which could happen depending on your profession, you're going to be struggling for 10, 15 years. And what happens when you struggle with money? You maybe, if you're married or have a significant other, you're going to have relationship problems. It just is going to flow through. And you want to have a better, healthier life. Before you buy a home, you got to know your numbers. How much you make, what your expenses are, how much down payment, how long it took you to get that down payment. Did it take you 5 years to save that down payment, or did it take you 12 months? When's your last pay raise, and when's your next pay raise, if any? Are you working in a job where you get laid off for 4 to 6 weeks every year? because you might not have a paycheck. That's 4 to 6 weeks. That's a month and a half. That's almost 2 months of payments. Can you save up enough money to have that available so when you're not working, you can pay for it? Still make your payments. If you know what you can afford before you buy your home, you're going to be better off. And if you buy what you can afford, you're not going to be struggling paycheck to paycheck. That's what I did. I saved up some money. I bought what I could afford. I fixed it up. I lived there 5 years. It went up in value. I sold it for a lot more than what I paid for, almost double, I believe. I had more bigger down payment for the home I'm currently in. I put that down, and then I kind of struggled because my income dropped, and it went up, and then it dropped, and it went up. I made it affordable for the amount of money I was making at the time I bought the home, and I was able to always achieve that. And I did that because I knew my numbers. I knew my monthly income. I knew what my expenses were going to be. I knew how much my insurance, my real estate taxes, and I just knew what was expected. I was able to save up the money when I was making more money and set it aside so I had it when I was making less money and I had these bills coming due. It's called planning. Planning for your future is ongoing and it never stops. Even if you pay off all your credit card debt, you still have to keep doing these things. And that's why we get into next episode is keeping a budget. You do a budget every month and it's not set up to tell you to quit spending, but you can use it for that purpose. You can use it to identify things where you're spending too much money and you can look ways to reduce your spending. But it's more geared to letting you know what's going on and knowing the future and what's coming due so that you always have the money in your checking account to pay your bills timely when they come due. And that's what personal finance is all about.